This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
All right, a lot going on today. Big, big day. The president says it's looking more and more likely like Saudi Arabia did kill that journalist. And if so, there's going to be serious repercussions. The president also says he'll send the military to the border if Mexico doesn't do something to stop the flood of migrants and illegal immigrants coming into the country. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Zioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Zioli, and 855-839-1210. Facebook.com/Zioli Show. So, look, there's a couple of interesting things down. Larry Sabato, whatever his name is, pollster. I don't believe polls anymore. I really don't. I don't talk about them. I don't report them. I just don't. I have no faith in polling anymore. They have not changed the methodology. In fact, the other day, I met a guy who used to work for Gallup. And I said that. He goes, well, you're not wrong. I mean, they're still doing the same old tactics they used to do. Landlines and people who are registered a certain way. So, but he's at the Virginia, University of Virginia, their political science there. He says the Democrats are 4 seats short of locking down a House win. So it's not a done deal yet that the blue wave is going to happen here. That the blue wave is going to happen and then it's going to be the end of it. I just want to point that out and be very, very clear on that because I know that the media acts like it's a given. The other thing, too, is that the Senate, Claire McCaskill, she's in trouble in Missouri. And I look around. I mean, I think Menendez is in trouble in New Jersey. You know, New Jersey's New Jersey, and I'm not, obviously, I get very suspect of New Jersey politics, as you know, the games they play. But Ted Cruz is going to win Texas. He's going to get reelected there. In fact, the president's going there for a rally. They had to move to a new venue to support Ted Cruz. So then there's this guy. There's another guy running for office here. And this is a hysterical story here that I saw today. let's see here. Well, let me get to this in just a second here. Joe Donnelly, Democrat senator. He is Indiana, as you know. What he might have done here is he was splitting wood for a campaign ad. He wanted to show people he could split wood, but it appears now that the wood that he's using was already split. So the Joe Donnelly for Senate ad is almost a shot-for-shot frame from an ad that was done on the show Veep on HBO. I don't know if you ever watched the show Veep on HBO. It's very, very funny. Even the ad names are almost the same. Axe versus Chopping. You can't make it up, as other people have pointed out. And if you look at it, the wood that Joe Donnelly is splitting in the ad is pre-split. So they have the wood there for the senator to chop. And it's a fugazi. The wood's already split. So he just has to hit it with the axe and boom, it splits because it already split. Pre-split wood. Democrat Joe Donnelly and his Senate ad. So maybe we'll post this ad for you to watch, and you can decide for yourself if, in fact, the wood is pre-split in his axe ad. The ad is called Axe, because he's got an axe. Get it? He's chopping wood. Get it? Except the wood's already split. All right. Heidi Heitkamp. She's another Democrat who's in trouble. Heidi Heitkamp. She outed sexual assault victims for political gain. You know who said that? A sexual assault victim who came out and said, Heidi Heitkamp outed me for her own political game. And it's shameful. It is shameful. And so this whole, you know, the Democrats and their nonsense, a lot of it's being exposed, whether it's fake wood or it's, outing sexual assault victims. It's all the same in my mind. Sexual assault victim claims Heidi Heitkamp outed her for political gain. Imagine that. Imagine doing that to somebody. Imagine doing that to a person. But it shows you where the left really is on all women are to be believed, the Me Too movement, everything else. It's when it's convenient. A North Dakota woman identified as a sexual assault victim without her consent by Senator Heidi Heitkamp speculated Thursday that the North Dakota lawmaker included her name in an open letter without her permission for political gain. Lexi Zarella, a 24-year-old hairdresser. She's named in an open letter about sexual assault sent Monday by Heitkamp to her Republican challenger told CNN that she couldn't understand the motivation behind the campaign's decision to use her name without her permission. Said, I'd like to ask her how something so reckless and so careless could have happened. I still don't understand how it could have happened. How could you take somebody else's name without their consent and plaster it all over wherever you want, just for what? For political gain? And she said, when she asked if Heitkamp had been given the chance to speak, if she got the chance to speak with her, she said no. And she said, I don't understand how people think it's right to just take your name and use it without you knowing about it. So Heitkamp vowed to personally apologize to the woman and 12 other women listed as signees to the letter without their consent. You know, that's a federal offense, what Heidi Heitkamp did. Because she mailed those things. See, they're mail pieces. They're letters, right? So technically, the senators violated federal law there. Well, it's called, because what she's done here is it's, you know, it's a material fraud, misrepresentation. If you knowingly send something using the mail that you know is fraudulent, that's technically a federal crime. I don't think she's going to be charged with it, but because she's a senator. Heitkamp vowed Tuesday to personally apologize to Zarella and the 12 other women listed as signees to the letter without their consent. But Zarella said Thursday she has still not heard from the senator. Heidi Heitkamp's campaign then contacted CNN during the segment and reiterated their now two-day-old promise to reach out to Zarella. This is from a National Review. I don't know what she could do to make it any better, Zarella said. I know that's why a lot of people in this situation are reaching out to seek legal counsel because, you know, what she did is wrong. Yeah, what she did is wrong. She used you people, and you should all sue her. Sue her. That's what you should do. I mean, just as shameful, really shameful. So when the Democrats want to make Me Too an issue, they'll out sexual assault survivors without their permission, sign their names to a letter that they haven't signed. If I sign your name without your permission to a letter and I mail it out and I try to, and I know it's not your signature and I do it anyway. I'm just saying, if I did that or you did that, you might be in a little bit of trouble. You might get a visit from the postal police or maybe even the postmaster general himself, but not Heidi Heitkamp, because you know, there's a double standard for Democrats. That's why when Democrats cover for Phil Murphy, it's shameful. Do you know there's not one Democrat I can find who's called on Phil Murphy to resign as governor yet? Not one. The governor of New Jersey, a woman says she was raped by a high-ranking member of his staff, and he knew about it. And now it's coming out that he knew about it. And nobody's called on him to resign. I'm just saying, you know, that the Democratic Party is, it's pretty interesting. Here's how you do the resignation demand. You go like this. You go, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, you are a disgrace to the Me Too movement. In an era where we say all women should be believed, you did not believe this woman. You hired the man she accused of rape anyway. You gave him a $140,000 job. And when your chief counsel knew about it, you did nothing back in March. When the victim contacted you in June for a meeting, you ignored her. You ignored her requests. Why not, Governor Murphy? You don't believe women? You should resign. You should resign. You're a disgrace to women. And then have a bunch of handmaids out there at the State House calling for his resignation. I mean, that's what the Democratic Party should do if they were actually putting their money where their mouth is, right? They would do that. I just find the whole thing to be, I'm very jaded and cynical, I know, being a lifelong Jersey resident, but also being in politics my whole life and being in Jersey politics my whole life. So I'm doubly, triply, quadruply cynical of all of it. The first day that I heard about this bipartisan committee to investigate this whole thing, I thought, great. And, you know, now I'm kind of looking at that going, is this just a delay tactic? Did they dupe some of these Republicans to join the committee by saying they'll get to the bottom of this? But actually, is this just a delay as hoping the story will fade away from people's minds after some time? Has Cory Booker come out and said anything about this? Has he had a Spartacus moment? Does Cory Booker have no tears of rage for Katie Brennan? One of his constituents, by the way. Because she lives in New Jersey. So Count Grandstangela and the Tears of Rage Band should be playing a song for Katie Brennan, a constituent of his who was raped, allegedly, who went to the police, who got a DNA kit, the rape test, rape kit, DNA, evidence, went to the prosecutor's office. And the prosecutor in Hudson County, very close to Essex County, where you used to be mayor of Newark, and where your office is, one of them anyway, they did nothing. They don't believe her. They believe the guy. Cory Booker, doesn't this make you have tears of rage? No, where is your Spartacus moment, sir? How can you sit here in New Jersey and be a U.S. senator knowing they chose to believe a rapist and not a woman? How do you, Cory Booker, not feel inside that your heart's breaking and crippling inside you as you look around and you go, no, no, sir. No, I can't be part of this, sir. I will not be part of this. You should walk out of New Jersey. No, I mean, like, literally, you should walk out of the state. Like you walked out of the Senate hearing on Brett Kavanaugh. You should get up, Cory Booker, and walk out of New Jersey and never come back. Like Forrest Gump, just go walking or running or something. Just say you can't take it anymore. You're out. Bring the Tears of Rage band with you. Put on a Spartacus suit and get out. Put your money where your mouth is, sir. But I have not heard, by the way, Senator Count Grantstangela say a word about this. If I'm wrong, I will correct myself. But you remember Cory Booker and all his nonsense during the Judge Kavanaugh hearings. His Spartacus moment. And walking out of the committee hearing, we compared it to Animal House. We compared the scene where Cory Booker stood up and left the committee to the scene in Animal House where they walked out of the hearing with Dean Wormer. I mean, come on! And this is happening in real time in New Jersey where it's very obvious now the New Jersey governor's office knew about this going possibly as far back as November. Because in November, the governor's now chief of staff was told about this. And then the governor's chief counsel was told in March. And then the governor, June 1st, gets an email from the victim saying, we need to talk. And he writes back, we're on it. So I'm just saying, you know, where's the Spartacus moment, Cory Booker, demanding the governor resign? Where's the Spartacus moment demanding that the prosecutor of Hudson County resign, considering that her office chose to believe the man and not the victim? Where's your moment, Count Grantstangela? What you could do is you could go stand outside the Hall of Justice in Hudson County, which is a joke, by the way, because Hudson County is always so corrupt. But go stand outside the Hall of Justice in Hudson County and demand your tears of rage. They're only going to get better only if the prosecutor steps down because you cannot believe a woman constituent of yours who lives in your state could be ignored. Could be ignored. That makes you have tears of rage again. So that's what you should do. Stand out there and demand it. And don't leave until the prosecutor steps down. Or walk out of New Jersey, like you walked out of the committee hearing for Judge Kavanaugh, Cory Booker. Stand up and say, I will not be part of this state until all women are to be believed. Not just women who accuse Republicans, but all women. Even women who accuse other Democrats. Even Democrat women who accuse Democrat men. Until that day comes, I will not return. And just walk out of the state of New Jersey. You could do it. You could walk to New York. I mean, you're never down in South Jersey, so I don't even think you know where Philadelphia is. But you could walk to New York City. And you could just not come back here, you know, as a show of defiance until Phil Murphy resigns or the prosecutor in Hudson County resigns. Where are the Democrats calling on these people for their resignations? Honestly, I'm just wondering. The Hudson County Prosecutor's Office deliberately did not charge this guy because he said it was consensual. And Katie Brennan said, he raped me. And they said, well, we believe the guy. We're going to go with the guy on this one. I mean, yeah, physical evidence. And yeah, you told people after it happened. And yes, those people are willing to testify that you told them. But we're going to go with the guy because we don't really believe women should be believed. We just say that. We just say we believe that. We don't really believe that. I mean, you know that wink, wink, that's all just BS, right? Because if we really believe that, we would all be calling for me to step down. Not the county prosecutor, but we don't really believe that. And besides, look, Phil Murphy may become president someday. You know, he wants to run. He's got presidential ambitions. And you know what the national media does to a New Jersey governor with presidential ambitions, right? Who does something wrong, who covers up something, who participates in a cover-up? They crucify the guy. They literally cover the story nonstop. So where is the national media on this story of a New Jersey governor with presidential ambitions and the cover-up that his administration pursued and continued to cover up for from November to now, almost a year. Well, meanwhile, an alleged rapist sat there collecting $140,000 salary for a BS job. And the only reason he resigned was because the Wall Street Journal contacted him and said, you've been accused of rape. Any comments? And then he tendered his resignation in the Murphy administration. I have tears of rage and I have having my Spartacus moment right now. And I'm going to walk out as well. Okay, now look. This is amazing. Turns out CNN did cover the story. I'm shocked. Katie Brennan, chief of staff of the New Jersey Housing and Mortgage Finance Agency, stepped forward as the accuser of Al Alvarez. She went public. And CNN had her on. Is that true, Greg? Hello?
No.
No, it's not true.
No.
Didn't you just text me and say...
No. When you were talking about the woman who was outed by Heidi Heitkamp, I had
Oh!
We should really talk about things during the break, shouldn't we? Sorry about
that. See, I thought when you texted me and said we have the audio of the victim on CNN, I thought you meant Katie Brennan, the rape victim in New Jersey with the New Jersey governor's office covering the whole thing up. So then I went, oh my gosh, CNN! CNN covered the story and had the victim on.
No, sir.
And I was going to say good for them.
No, sir.
Yeah, no, sir.
That didn't happen.
To be consistent.
And we would have been consistent.
Yep.
But yeah, it didn't happen. So different victim.
Hmm.
Sorry about that.
No, hey, listen, you know, what are you gonna do? Actually, I knew this. It's good. It's good radio, though, right? Right, Dawn?
Oh, you fooled me. I'm like Santa. What? Because I would say, look, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be unbiased, and so if you put people who've come out, you know, you interview them, you hear what they have to say. But for this particular woman, you know, I imagine she's looking, saying, why isn't CNN calling me? Why isn't MSNBC? Where are they for me?
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, I mean, she's made allegations, but, you know.
She's made allegations, and in the era of Me Too, we're supposed to believe all women. And so an allegation is supposed to be enough. That's what they told us. So certainly then, if an allegation's enough, the guy should have been fired a long time ago. But that didn't happen. So, you know, the double standard here is so sickening. It's beyond sickening. Oh, well, listen, I want to defend Cory Booker for a moment. Because I know you're wondering, like I am, why Cory Booker hasn't said anything. Right, Dawn? You're wondering that?
Yes.
Why has Cory Booker not said anything? Well, the reason why is because he's in South Carolina running for president. So it's not his fault he doesn't have time to deal with a constituent of his who was raped. Even though the powerful governor's office kept the silence here, because he's in South Carolina and they don't have phones. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very backwards back there. You know what I mean? So what can he do? It's not like he can tweet down there or call anyone. You know what I mean? So Cory Booker can't do anything about it.
His hands are tied.
Hands are tied. South Carolina. And it's the year 1907. So he can't do anything. Anyway, let's hear the woman who said Heidi Heitkamp outed her for political purposes. She was on CNN. Take a listen.
We just heard from Senator Heitkamp, who said, all I can do is say, I'm sorry. I want to know what I can do to fix this. Has she said that personally to you, that she's sorry?
No, she has not.
You were told, though, as I understand it, that she would be reaching out.
Yep, I was told that she was going to reach out to every one of the women that was... you know, put in this without our consent, but she has yet to reach out to me.
She said she also wants to know what she can do to fix this. Is there something in your mind that she could do?
You know, the damage has kind of already been done. You know, the names that didn't want to be put out there are already out there for the world to see, and you can't really retract that. The damage is done.
When did you first realize that your name was out there?
A friend reached out to me and just mentioned that my name was written in an article. And at first I didn't know what she was talking about, and I thought maybe it was a scam. And then she found the article for me and sent it to me personally.
What was your reaction?
You know, at first I was terrified. I thought, you know, how could this happen? How could something like my name be put out there publicly when that wasn't, you know, that wasn't my choice? And I was very public or very private about the things that had happened to me in the past. And, you know, I kind of walk around everyday life like people, when they look at me, that they know what had happened to me. And from now on, when I walk around, I'll know that they know that's, you know, what has happened to me. And forever, for the rest of my life, I'll have to hold the title as a survivor, and that wasn't my choice. I never made that choice in the first place, but now I'm going to have to live with it for the rest of my life.
I know that you have been in contact with some of the other women, and that some of you have actually been talking about some sort of legal recourse here. What does justice look like for you in this situation?
Money.
I keep asking myself that over and over again, and I'm still kind of trying to figure that out.
Heidi Heitkamp loses.
It's been a couple days since all of this kind of blew up, and I don't know what she could do that would make it better. I know that's
drop
why
out of the
a
race.
Lot of the people in this situation are reaching out to seek legal counsel because of, you know, what she did was wrong. And I think it's very reckless that, you know, she didn't read the document and approve all of our names being put out there. You know, somebody messed up.
Do you know how
well, you know what? I feel so bad for this woman. Anyway, that's Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, Democrat senator in a very, very tight race. And she outed this woman as a sexual assault victim. She didn't want to be outed. She's 24 years old. Now she's got that moniker now. So pathetic, shameful, absolutely pathetic and shameful. Anyway, I genuinely feel bad for her. And what Heidi Heitkamp can do is drop out, give her all of the money she's raised for her Senate race. That would make it better, right? Say, I'm not worthy of being a U.S. senator. I'm going to lose anyway, so I'll drop out. Here's all my money that I raised. Kleenex is going to rebrand man-sized tissues after gender complaints. There are more people complaining about the gender of tissues than about this rape cover-up in New Jersey. You realize that? The priorities of the left here. Kleenex will rebrand its man-sized tissues after consumers complained the name was sexist, touching off a social media conversation about what's in a name. I never knew that they had Kleenex man-sized tissues, but now they're gone. They're taking them away. Man size, they're gone.
They should call them super size, but they're calling them extra large.
Extra large now. Man size. What about, can you say man bags, or is that sexist now too?
What is that referring to?
Like, you know that when men have those satchels. Like every picture of former White House counsel Don McGahn is that one picture of him with a big giant brown man bag, that big leather satchel that goes around, you know?
I thought you were referring to like a muffin top or something. I wasn't sure.
I just, when guys have those really expensive bags, they're purses. Let's just be honest and call them what they are,
you
know?
It's a man purse.
It's a man purse. All right. I carry a purse. Oh, well, let's see here. Now, we have some great audio for you today, as we always do here on the Zeoli Show. So why don't we get to some of that for your listening pleasure? Greg, do you have that one cut I sent you, by the way? I think I texted you.
The Joe Biden one?
Yes, Joe Biden.
Yes.
So Joe Biden, who's also running for president, he's making the media tour now. They love him, by the way. They love Joe Biden. They just love the guy. And so he's on TV last night. This is what he said about President Trump and dictators.
I'm very worried that the president seems to have a love affair with autocrats. And
President Trump.
President Trump, yeah.
And why?
The
he doesn't
idea
like Obama.
That he's already making excuses before the facts are known is typical, but it hurts us internationally.
If the allegations are true and that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia ordered the killing of this Saudi dissident who wrote a column for the Washington Post, should there be consequences?
Absolutely, positively. This was a permanent American resident. I just don't know why this administration seems to feel the need to coddle autocrats and dictators, from Putin to Kim Jong-un to, you know, Duarte. I mean, I don't understand it.
Why do you think President Trump does that?
I don't want to speculate to my worst fears, but either he doesn't know what he's doing, or he has an absolutely convoluted notion of what allows America to lead the world.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a quick question here. Why did Barack Obama, when he was president, why did he put up with Saudi Arabia, Joe? Because here's some of Saudi Arabia's human rights record, okay? And I'm not excusing the murder of this journalist, obviously not, but let's understand for years now what we've looked the other way around. Over at National Review, great piece over here today. We look the other way as Saudi Arabia's justice system punishes women for having been raped. We look the other way as they institute the death penalty for crimes ranging from murder, adultery, witchcraft, and even speaking out against their religion. They crucify people in Saudi Arabia. They still crucify people in Saudi Arabia. Guess what? That all didn't begin under Trump. Some of their prison punishments include amputations and flogging. Flogging. In a world where a lot of countries treat guest workers like crap, Saudi Arabia stands out as among the worst. The record on human trafficking is awful. Many American feminists may be too committed to multiculturalism to acknowledge this loudly in public, but in Saudi Arabia, The Handmaid's Tale could be a documentary. We prefer Saudi Arabia to the Iranians in their proxy war with Yemen, but reports on the ground say Saudi Arabia hits residential areas, markets, funerals, weddings, jails, boats, and medical facilities. And this has been going on for years throughout the Obama administration. And the Obama administration, the famous time that Barack Obama said, wait till the after election, tell Putin I'll have more flexibility. How about Cuba? How about Obama being buddies with Cuba, opening up Cuba to everybody? You know, they're such hypocrites. They really are, these people. They're such hypocritical frauds. Muslim Brotherhood, Egypt, the Arab Spring, Libya. I mean, I could go on. What the Obama administration's awful record of standing up with autocrats and dictators. But the thing is, though, they like autocrats and dictators on the left. We see Norah O'Donnell doesn't push back on any of that. What Norah O'Donnell does is she says, why is that? Give us your psychological analysis of why Trump likes strongmen. Why Trump keeps relationships up with all the countries that Obama had relationships with. What's your theory on that? Please enlighten us, Sigmund Biden. Please enlighten us on that, Siggy Joe. Enlighten us as to why, with the exception of North Korea, President Trump is engaging every country that Barack Obama engaged. What is your, is it his mother? Is it something else? Please, give us your psychological insight and get your hands off my shoulders. What, too soon? By the way, the media loves Joe Biden. They're very, very happy that he's back on the scene. Norah O'Donnell in her gushing interview with Joe Biden, in which she didn't ask any of those other questions, like, why? What didn't Obama pal around with dictators and autocrats? Anyway, she's very happy that Joe Biden is going to run for president. And it's a cute little cut here that we have, cut number three.
You are the Democrats' top choice to run against President Trump in 2020.
This is so early. I don't think that means anything.
I know, but you think about it. You care deeply about this country. I know you do. That's why you're out campaigning.
Right. Right. Remember when she said that to Trump during the election?
Oh my God.
I'll never forget that. When she said to Trump, you care deeply about this country.
Oh my God. You're wonderful. You're wonderful.
Now, Beto O'Rourke is running down in Texas against Ted Cruz. Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press and Meet the Press Daily. Chuck Todd, he's got some kind words for the Democrat challenger to Ted Cruz. Take a listen.
Beto O'Rourke, the Bobby Kennedy of millennials, decided to go negative.
Right.
Let me play a mashup of his...
the of Bobby these. Kennedy of millennials.
Oh, my God.
Bobby Kennedy
Beto O'Rourke, the Bobby Kennedy of millennials...
By the way, do millennials even know who Bobby Kennedy is?
No.
I think a more apt description would be the Ted Kennedy of millennials, considering that he had a DWI and left the scene of an accident, or at least that's the allegation. Beto O'Rourke. Oh, yeah.
Beto O'Rourke, the Bobby Kennedy of millennials.
Ted. It's the Ted Kennedy of millennials. You got the wrong Kennedy guy.
Isn't he getting killed in Texas?
Getting killed.
Like, what?
Getting killed. This is from the Washington Post here. Beto O'Rourke, DWI episode in 1998 included car crash and alleged attempt to flee the scene. So I'm saying he's just more like Ted than Bobby. If you're going to do a Kennedy analogy, Representative Beto O'Rourke of Texas, who was mounting a spirited bid to unseat Senator Ted Kennedy, was involved in a drunken driving episode 20 years ago in which he crashed into another vehicle and sought to flee, according to police reports from the time. Though O'Rourke's DWI arrest has long been publicly known and seemed not to hinder his political career, the reports that surfaced last week suggest the episode was more serious than detailed in previous media accounts. Because he was 26 at the time, was driving drunk at what a witness called a high rate of speed in a 75-mile-per-hour zone on an interstate when he lost control of his Volvo and hit a truck. The reports say the impact sent O'Rourke's car across the center median where it came to a complete stop. Then, according to a witness, Beto O'Rourke attempted to leave the scene. The police officer who responded was dispatched at 3 a.m. O'Rourke blew a 0.136 and 0.134 on police breathalyzers above the legal limit of 0.10 at the time. He was arrested at the scene and charged with DWI, but later completed a court-approved diversion program, and the charges were dismissed. So he said it was a learning experience from him. So again, I'm just suggesting, if you're going to do a Kennedy analogy, please do the one who was the drunk driver in the family. And don't besmirch Bobby.
Beto O'Rourke, the Bobby Kennedy Ted. Of millennials, decided to go...
Here, that's what we'll do. We'll correct it for him. Okay. All right, here we go. Try it again.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Beto O'Rourke, the Bobby Kennedy...
Ted!
Beto O'Rourke, the Bobby Kennedy
Ted.
Of millennials...
All right. Just trying to help. No. I'm just trying to write the story, that's all.
It sounds like he likes beer.
He might like beer. He might like a whole lot of beer. Okay, let's see what else we have now. Oh, yes. Let's see now. We have MSNBC guest Jason Johnson. Trump doesn't care about the Saudi journalist who was murdered because, well, obviously, cut five.
The president is completely in the pocket of any other dictators in the world because he admires their ability to basically kill or tacitly allow the death of anybody who criticizes them. I don't think the president ever got on the phone with anybody in Saudi Arabia. I don't think he read any sort of, NSA analysis to come to that decision. He basically said, I don't care. It was a brown journalist. He's not an American, and I'm perfectly happy with our relationship with Turkey, and I'm perfectly happy with our relationship with Saudi Arabia.
Do you think, I just want to be clear about what you're saying. You think it might have been different if it was a different person?
Oh, yes, yes. I think there is a possibility. Look, I'm not going to name any particular news networks, but I suspect that if this was someone who was an American who was born here of a different color and perhaps representing a news outlet that the president was more happy with, he may have a very different opinion about how serious this is and whether or not Saudi Arabia should be held accountable.
Now, I'm just going to go on the record here. If the Saudi journalist who was murdered was brown and Trump doesn't care because he doesn't want to upset the Saudi prince, isn't the Saudi prince also brown? I mean, if it's about race, I'm just saying, like, Trump doesn't want to upset the Saudi prince for very complex diplomatic reasons, and some of which are about money, and some of which are about stability, some of which are about oil. But he is brown, so it's not like Trump went, okay, time to go take out the brown prince, right? So if the guy who's been murdered is brown and the murderer is brown, maybe it's not about skin color. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest maybe it's something else besides just the guy's skin color. What do I know? All right. But thank you for asking the tough follow-up there. Did you notice the tough follow-up right there?
Yep.
Wait, aren't the people you just named brown too? Isn't everybody over there? Wait, by brown, they're all brown according to... Anyway, forget it.
He wanted...
What the hell?
He set him up to take a shot at Fox News.
Yeah, that was good. Network I don't want to name. Very, very good there. That's excellent, excellent work. Now, the president today has come out and said very, very harsh words against Saudi Arabia. It's not as easy as everybody thinks. Okay, let's say we're going to really get them back here. They murdered a lawful permanent resident of the United States of America, and we're not going to tolerate that. So what we're going to do is now we're going to go take out the Saudi crown prince. Okay? We take him out. We send a team of Navy SEALs in there, and they whack the guy. Who takes over after that, by the way? Who takes over as the Saudi crown prince or the leader of Saudi Arabia? And what if they decide they hate the great Satan of the West too, and also the little Satan, Israel? And then next thing you know, you have World War III breaking out in the Middle East. It's just not as easy as these idiot commentators make it seem. You know, I'm sure the president's very upset about this situation. It's an awful situation. And I don't think President Trump wants this to happen to anybody, least of not which somebody who has a green card in this country. But I'm just saying that it's not as easy to then go, well, just topple the regime. Just topple the regime. Just send in a guy and whack him and be all good. Hey, maybe like when John F. Kennedy was around with Castro, they could try to do something to take the crown prince's beard, make it fall out, and then they'd be a laughingstock, and then everybody would go, you know what I mean? Anyway. Okay, so skin color. That's the answer now, skin color. Not complex international diplomacy. Not that. Not war. Not oil. Not money. Not Israel. No. Skin color. It's just about Trump. What color is the guy? By the way, the journalist says, yes, thank you. As somebody just pointed out to me on Twitter, thank you, Marianne. He's not that. He's not that brown, by the way. Elizabeth Warren is whiter than him, okay? Let me just put it that way, but not by much, all right? That's so stupid. I hate when they make everything about race. It's so infuriating to me. It really is. All right. The president, though, did say today that it looks very, very, it's looking more and more like Saudi Arabia did, in fact, kill the guy, and they said that if that happened, it's going to not be good. He said, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo returned last night from Saudi Arabia and Turkey. I met with him this morning, wherein the Saudi situation was discussed in great detail, including his meeting with the Crown Prince. He is waiting for the results of the investigation being done by the Saudis in Turkey and just gave a news conference to that effect. And then he said earlier today that it's looking more and more obvious like it was murder. And if Saudi Arabia is found responsible for the disappearance and alleged death, the president has said that there will be severe consequences. So I'm sure that there will be. So I don't think the president wants to let this go unchecked. That doesn't mean regime change, but there's certainly somewhere in the middle you can go with that, right? All right, so glad you're here today. This is the Zioli Show every day. We appreciate it very, very much. Absolutely. Always do appreciate your listening to the show. Even if you only listen 1/1024% of the time, we still appreciate it. And we still consider you part of the Zioli Army. Even if you only won 1/1024th, you're still a member of this army, damn it. All right? Keira Knightley is an actress. She doesn't let her daughter Edie watch certain movies, Disney movies, Disney classics here. I only bring this up because in my house we watch Disney classics, and I think this is a little stupid, but cut four.
And she's banned from seeing certain children's movies, right?
Yeah.
What are they?
Cinderella,
mm-hmm.
banned, because, you know, she waits around for a rich guy to rescue her. Don't rescue yourself, right. Obviously.
Right.
And this is the one that I'm quite annoyed about, because I really like the film, but Little Mermaid. I mean, the songs are great, but do not give your voice up for a man. Hello. Wow.
There you go.
So, you know, I mean, but the problem with, I mean, The Little Mermaid, I love The Little Mermaid, so I'm having that. That one's a little tricky one, but no, but I'm keeping to it.
All right, then. There you go.
What is that?
Don't wait for the man to rescue you. Rescue yourself.
Well, the biggest thing with Disney is, why do they kill off the mothers and the stepmothers? You know, like Bambi, they kill off the mom. You know what I mean?
I would have killed Bambi, too, by the way. Bambi grows up to hit my car.
Exactly. Dude. $2,000 for the damage on your car.
Exactly. Don't make them that cute little fuzzy animals. Wait, who else do they kill in Disney movies?
Well, it's always the mom or the stepmom, but there was one where the dad they killed off. Which one was that? And I hated that one too. So they.
I think it was Iron Man, right? Disney owns all the Avenger movies.
I know, right?
Now.
I mean, I don't know. You talk to your kid. You just say, these are old fables. You know what I mean? I think you don't ban it, because then they're going to see it someday and say, why didn't I get to see that?
Well, isn't that the Apple one? Is that the Apple one, Cinderella?
No, that's Snow White.
Oh, Snow White. Yeah.
The evil stepmother.
I banned Snow White because I don't want my kids eating apples. So stupid. So dumb. This is interesting now. I guess it was another Hollywood actress who said she doesn't let her kids watch Disney movies. Oh, I know who it is. Kirsten, what's her name?
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, right. Who's in one of the biggest Disney
Frozen.
Movies.
Hello.
Of all time, Frozen, right?
Yeah.
She said something about, she was watching with her kids, and I guess there was a scene where the prince kisses the sleeping princess. I guess that, which one is that?
Sleeping Beauty.
And she goes, is that really okay? Because, and I kid you not, she said, he didn't have her consent. but she's sleeping. She can only, she can't wake up unless he kisses her. So otherwise, we just let her stay in a coma. I mean, is that what Kristen Bell's suggesting? I'm all for the consent thing, but
more women
it's either
in comas.
That or she's a vegetable the rest of her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's saying it's like stranger danger.
Yeah. Which is fine, I get that, but at the same time, she didn't have a living will, Sleeping Beauty. So
yeah.
You know, the PC standards, I have to kiss her to wake her up. Well, no, you don't have her consent. No, but it's, no, really, she, no, no, you don't get it. Yep,
oh,
sorry.
No, it was Snow White.
Oh, Snow White?
Yeah, it is Snow White. I apologize.
Well, who's Sleeping Beauty then?
I forget her deal.
That's Chuck Todd.
Yeah.
Beto O'Rourke, the Bobby Kennedy of millennials.
We did it right there. Nailed it.
That was awesome.
The Ted Kennedy millennials. I love it.
What, you know, what is Sleeping Beauty? That's a, like the low energy princess, right?
By the way, I just looked. I don't have time to get to the Lester Cuomo. We're gonna have to save that for tomorrow, and we're gonna have to save. Speaking of low energy, we're gonna have to save Joe Biden for tomorrow. He says there's no evidence of voter fraud, so there's no way to rig an election. He said there's no voter fraud. So what the hell is this Russia investigation all about? That's my question. We'll get to that tomorrow, Joe Biden.
Oh boy.
The dad died in Finding Nemo. That's right.
Yes.
That was a Stranger Danger one, Finding Nemo, right? Oh, and then the Lion King, the dad died too,
yes,
right?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Nemo and Lion King.
Wow. Yeah, Nemo and Lion King.
That's devastating.
These Disney movies are depressing.
Sad. I know, right?
The Disney movies are all depressing. Yeah. They're all very,
so they
very
all
dark.
They do have, but he supposedly had some, Disney himself had family issues, right? Like, that's what they've said that. So he had mother issues.
When he wakes up in a year, ask him.
That's right.
2 years. Or,
that's right.
Isn't he frozen? Isn't his body in cryogenic freeze under the Cinderella's castle, right?
I think he's running against Trump in 2020.
He might. They might dig him up.
Yeah.
Thaw the guy. Thaw him out. See what happens. Disney. I don't know. How about the one, oh, that I love. I used to love as a kid. You can't do it anymore because it's politically incorrect. Oh, all of them.
Yeah.
Every
true.
Single one of them now.
Yeah.
You literally now, some of these Disney movies you could never make anymore today because of all these whiny people that say, yeah. All right, never mind. We're out of time. So, Greg, let's just do it.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to T. T says, Diamond and Silk on Rich Zeoli. We are not black tokens. We are precious gems. Don't get it twisted. I adore these ladies. And, of course, become Zeoli Army strong. T wins Twitter.
Very nice.
Today.
Very nice.
There we go.
Good job.
Well done. No, that's interesting. That's interesting.
What?
About what?
No, somebody was saying that we need to get one of the Alec Baldwin, oh, that's interesting, buttons for the,
that's
so I can
funny.
Just play that every now and then. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, the mother dies in Nemo, not the father. Right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. All right. We'll do more Disney tomorrow. But again,
sorry.
I don't want us to turn into a
Lion King.
A New Jersey station. Which cartoon is your favorite?
There's no just reason saying. To take a shot at them.
Right, no reason.
Rizzioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.